poinsettias that you see on the stage and behind me have been donated by about 10 different families in memory of loved ones. We'll have those listed in this week's bulletin. The fruit baskets are to be delivered today. Those of you that are at this service, if you'll go by after Bible study, there is a master list there, and when you take one to deliver, be sure to put your name by it so that we'll know it's covered. And if you know of someone who needs a basket who's not on the list, add that name and take a basket. We have prepared about 15 extras, and we hope to put smiles on the faces of many people today. This service is carried by WFHC Radio 91.5, which also can be heard on Channel 40 on cable television. Help us to get that word around. If you know of shut-ins or people at home who can't get out, or anybody for that matter, encourage them to tune in, and especially on Channel 40. Marcus Hayes and I are planning in the next few days to prepare some slides teaching the plan of salvation, our worship, maybe the organization of the church, and other things that will be on that Channel 40 while the service is going on, and especially while the sermon is being preached, that people can see some of those things as well as hear. So help us to advertise that, and I want to personally thank Ron Means and the staff at WFHC for helping us to carry this service on radio. The sermon that I'm bringing this morning is one that has been prepared over a period of several weeks. I have become increasingly concerned about the breakdown of the family, and I think you share in that concern. I'm not just thinking this morning about the statistics that we see concerning what's happening in America, but more especially about what's happening in the church. It's not uncommon for me to visit back in a town or city where I previously worked and meet somebody who was part of the church there and notice that he has a different wife or she has a different husband. This is getting more and more common. There's hardly a week goes by but that something is said in our work here about families that are experiencing difficulties. And folks, when the breakdown of the family begins to affect the church, it's high time for us to be concerned. If any people ought to be interested in promoting family love, it ought to be Christian people. And yet it is not uncommon today to hear someone say, "We have fallen out of love." And occasionally someone will say to me in reference to a husband or wife, "I don't love him anymore." Or, "I don't love her anymore." One of the hardest things I ever had said to me, relative to the point of keeping my emotions under control, was a few years ago when a little girl about 3 years old looked up at me and said, "My mommy don't love my daddy anymore." If I live to be 100, I'll never forget that moment. We talk about falling in love. Sometimes we fall in love even when we didn't mean to. We joke about falling in love. Sometimes we'll see two young people in each other's arms and we'll say, "Oh, they're in love." Judy and I have sort of a project when we're driving to look at the people in front of us, especially if it's a man and a woman, and try to figure out if they're married. And we've come to the conclusion that if he's sitting against the left door and she's sitting against the right, they're married. They're both under the steering wheel, they're dating. And if she had an opportunity to preach this sermon this morning, she would point her finger at me, probably on that. Because we have a tendency not to continue the emotional ties the emotional relationship and the emotional expressions that are there during courtship and tend to cease after marriage. Falling out of love. I saw something the other day that caught my attention on this. There had been a survey taken, and someone was writing about this. I don't remember right now where I saw it or who it was, but the statement was made that I'm convinced that the problem is not that we're falling out of love as much as it is that we are transferring our love. And I sat and thought about that for a little while, and the more I think about it, the more I think that may be what's happening. That we are transferring our love to somebody or something else and not continuing to rekindle that fire that should be there in our love for each other, particularly as husband and wife. And so, in the same way that we fall in love, we tend to say we fall out of love, which perhaps is saying we've transferred our love in another direction. Think with me for a few minutes how that can happen. It's possible to transfer one's love to the job. You know how much emphasis we place upon work. I firmly believe that God's Word teaches that. We've tried to bring our children up to respect the importance of an honest day's work, keeping one's shoulder to the task. Certainly there is an attitude of respect for a person who goes to work and works hard to do a good job, takes it seriously, and especially thinking of it in terms to make a living to support his family. In cases where it is necessary, where the wife also helps to support the family, certainly we need to have respect for that. But do we not sometimes let our work take us away from our families and spending time with them? When you look at people today relative to the job, it seems to me that there are no average people left. You either have those who won't 6 hours of coffee break in an 8-hour day, or those who are so tied to their work that it almost becomes an obsession. I'm of the opinion that it is getting increasingly difficult for a person to work those 8 hours, if that's the case, and leave that job at work and come home and at least hang the job on the bush as you go in the front door and leave it there and spend time, quality time, with the family. And quality time is what is needed. Year before last at Christmas, I guess it was last year, when our grandchildren were here, our now 5-year-old, who was 4 at that time, found out that she and her family were going to have to leave early. She started crying. And she said, "I wanted to spend some quality family time." I'm not for sure she understood what she was saying, but she had a profound statement. Spending too much time on the job, or taking your work home with you to where even when you're with the family at the table, you're not thinking about them, you're thinking about what you did today and what you plan to do tomorrow. And I have to work on this. I find that if I'm not careful, that sometimes when we go to the table to eat, I have the phone lying by me, so if anybody calls, I can answer it, and sometimes during the meal, we'll pick up the phone and make a phone call before I realize what I'm doing. I'm not just preaching this to you this morning. I need it as much as anyone. But folks, when we are so tied to our work that we transfer our love to it, that may be what's causing some of us to fall out of love. This can happen as far as recreation is concerned. I have met some people who enjoyed fishing so much that they spent all their time on the lake. These two fellows were fishing one Sunday morning, and one looked over and said, "You know, it's time for Bible study. The other one said, I couldn't have gone. My wife is sick. Whether it's fishing or golfing or whatever it is that you and I like to do as a hobby, which may not be wrong in and of itself, and in fact, which may be good in and of itself. We need recreation. Recreates the word there. But when we let that become an obsession, to where we try to spend all our free time and some of it that's not free doing that, we may be transferring our love to recreation. I read an article one day that asked the question, where would you be buried if you were buried where your heart has been most of the time? I suspect there'd be a cemetery on the golf course and some other places. Falling out of love? It may be that we're just allowing ourselves to become so involved with our hobbies and recreation that we don't have time. No, we don't take the time that is necessary to keep our love warm and rekindled in our relationships. I think sometimes that husbands and wives transfer too much love to their children. Now, this is a touchy point because the Bible does command us to love our children. Titus 2:4, Ephesians 6, you know the passages. And I also recognize that there will be time when children are smaller that a husband and a wife may have to sacrifice. Particularly the husband may have to sacrifice for the wife and mother to do what is necessary, particularly when there is a sick child. But the way to overcome that is both help to do what's needed and work together, even in showing love to children. Doing things together as a team, even as parents, is tremendous. And we husbands and fathers particularly need this. God didn't intend when there's a sick child for you and me to go to sleep and snore all night and let the mother take care of the child all night. And I know there are a lot of women that like to say amen right now. You can nod your head. That'll be all right. There's no conflict if there is the teamwork as parents. But when there is not that teamwork, and I guess I think we men need this more than the women, when there's not that teamwork, there's a tendency to transfer the love to the children and forget the love that we're supposed to have for the spouse, which was there before the children came into existence. And when you take the time and the love from your mate, even to give to your children, you may be transferring love that ought to be shown in the other direction and taking sides with the son or the daughter against the husband or wife. It's one of the worst things that can happen. There's disagreement over how to deal with a situation with a child. Discuss that when the child's not there. Don't take sides. That can drive wedges between the husband and wife as far as love is concerned. In the fourth place, sometimes the falling out of love is really transferring that love or falling in love with some other person. How sad. Two people are married. They're supposed to dedicate themselves to each other 100%, and they begin to look at someone else. And instead of nipping it in the bud, they let it go on and on and on and eventually find out, I've fallen in love. One of the saddest people I've ever met. Came into my office about 3 years ago, single man. He'd fallen in love with a woman that he had no right to marry. He knew it. He was wrestling with it. In this case, he handled it. He handled it right. And today he is happily married to a fine young woman who was marriageable. We husbands and wives need to take care of our own business to the extent that we don't have time to be taking care of somebody else's business. And I'll guarantee you, if you love your husband or wife like you should, you won't have time to be looking at anybody else's. And I'm not just talking about the sexual attraction or indication of that. I'm talking about sometimes just getting so involved with a friend where there's nothing wrong in the relationship except that it takes so much time away from the relationship you ought to have with your spouse. Again, not too long ago, I had a couple come into my office wanting some help with some marital problems. And I'm convinced till this day, eventually they divorced. She is remarried. I'm convinced till this day that their biggest problem was the computer. He had some moral problems with it, and her problem was that she had met somebody in the chat room, and according to him, was spending 2 to 3 and 4 hours every night talking to that other woman in the chat room. They'd never met. But spending from 2 to 4 hours every night. Wouldn't you wives like to have your husband take 2 to 4 hours, or your wife take 2 or 4 hours with you husbands every night just to talk? Too many of us are like the time when this woman had filed for divorce and the judge was talking to the man and to the woman, and he said to her, "What's the biggest problem?" She said, "He never tells me he loves me anymore." He looked over at her and said, "I told you I love you when we got married, and if I changed my mind, I'll let you know." We're allowing ourselves sometimes, folks, to spend too much time with friends that ought to be that quality family time spent with a husband or with a wife. Well, I don't believe God intended for us to give up our friends. I believe there's time for that, and especially, here's the answer, have mutual friends to where the husband and the wife spend time with their friends together. In fact, all these points that I'm making this morning, there's a bottom line to it, that if the husband and wife will work together in these directions, they'll rekindle their love while they're showing love to someone else. But you need to be careful. Be careful about seeming to be flirtatious. Don't leave the wrong impression. You never know what might be in the mind of that other person. And when you and I transfer our love to a friend, it can undermine the love that we have for each other in the husband-wife relationship. I even think that sometimes we can transfer too much love to good works. I'm a member of the Lions Club. I believe we're doing an excellent work in this community. I'm thankful to be a part of it and be involved in it. But if I get so involved in that club work that I don't have time to spend with my wife, that becomes a good work that's turned bad. There are a lot of things in the community that you and I can do. I try to be involved in community activities. I would encourage you to be involved in it. I believe that it is helpful. But if I spend all my time involved in good works in the community and I don't have time to be at home with my wife, all the time I'm going to something else or to this, and I'm out there doing something that's good, I may be letting that good work become something that's bad in my relationship with my wife. Here again is another point that's a bit touchy, but I think even sometimes church work can fit into this. Some of you are familiar with a movement that took place that had its beginning sort of in Gainesville, Florida a few years ago that we call the Crossroads Movement. Part of that involved what I would suggest is sensitivity training. And there was a tremendous emphasis placed upon the idea that every Christian ought to be out here doing personal work. One case with which I'm familiar is a situation where a woman had 3 children, young children, and a husband. Preacher in this case told her, you need to get out here and be going door to door. You need to be out here studying with people. She said, but I'm married and I have 3 small children and I need some time at home. He said, forget them and get out here and do the Lord's work. Let me tell you, mothers, something. rearing your children and being a good wife is a part of the Lord's work. Don't you ever forget that. I wish we were doing more personal evangelism than we are. I wish I was doing more than I am. And I hope to see us do more than we're doing. But I don't believe that God intended for you to forsake the love that you're to show for your husband or wife to get out to try to teach somebody the gospel. I don't believe that's the answer. Here again, doing things as a teamwork is really the answer. When you start going as a team, as husband and wife, and doing things together, that's the answer. In June, before Judy and I moved here in October of 1987, our youngest daughter graduated from college. The last 13 plus years have been some of the best of our lives. Occasionally, Judy will let me go to the store without her going. We spend more time together, I guess, just together in the car than most anywhere. Sometimes she'll stay awake till we get out of the driveway. But we're together. I wouldn't take anything for that part of our lives for the last few years. And I think that is what is so important. The church is my life. I've been preaching since 13. I've never known anything except to be involved day and night. Serving others is my life. But there were a few times when our children were younger that I got up and left the table for my wife and children to go and do something for somebody that could have waited an hour or so. And I guess of all the things that I would change, if I could live my life over, that'd be at the top of the list. Your wife, your husband, is the most important person in this world, and the love that you have for him or her ought to be second only to the love that you have for God. And when you start transferring that love to the job, to recreation, to friends, even to your children, and even to church work, and you do not continue to rekindle that love for each other as husband and wife, you may be sitting on a time bomb, because love just doesn't automatically continue. Nourish. Cherish, nurture, time. That's what's needed to keep us from falling out of love. I challenge every husband in this audience to start today, if you've not already started, rekindling those emotions that you have for your wife. And I challenge every wife to rekindle those emotions that you have for your husband. Work on it. It doesn't happen automatically. Love is a pearl that grows out of pain and time. And it takes time. It takes effort. And if we don't put forth that time and effort and are not as careful as we ought to be, we can fall out of love. The same kind of love is the love that we need to have for Christ as we're married to Him. If you're not married to Christ, you need to do that this morning. Be baptized into Him for the remission of sins. Come back if you've gone astray. But above everything, determine right now, in the greatest way that you can, that I'm going to love my wife, I'm going to love my husband, and with them working together, I'm going to love my God and all these other areas of love. It's got to start right there in the family if it's going to be successful. If you need to do something about your life to help that be successful, come as together we stand and sing.